Matthew chapter 5, we're going to begin reading there. Last week, one of the things that we were talking about, one of the things that we were looking at is just the first commandment. Now, we've been going through the Ten Commandments. We call it the Ten Commandments and the Upside Down Kingdom because we're trying to just show you how that they are intertwined together. And last week, we talked about and we looked at the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20 that God himself said, you don't put anybody ahead of me. I am God. I am creator. I'm Yahweh Elohim. He is the great one. And he makes it very plain to all of us. You don't put anybody ahead of me. I am number one. And so I know in my heart and I'm confident that Jesus understood that was the very heartbeat of our Savior as he's standing up. And let's read in verse 1 as we see what's happening in Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, this great throng of people, he went up on a mountain. Here we go. Love that breeze. Doesn't it feel good? It's a mountain breeze. And the disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them. Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. There we go. I want to remind you what the word blessed, supremely blessed, fortunate, well off, or happy. Now, what we've been talking about in this whole upside down kingdom, and we want you to understand that if your religious experience has led you to believe that you can do this Christian thing the way that you live your life by pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps, and you making it happen, or you being able to pull things off by you being a good person, or you being a moral person, or you applying some of this scripture in a self-help context, I want you to understand that what we have been studying and what I'm presenting to you this morning is in direct contrast to that kind of religious pursuit. And so, I don't believe it's any easier to truly embrace the teaching of Christ than it was for the throng of people that gathered around and his disciples. What I love about the disciples is that they're sitting at his feet listening to his teaching, but they got this teaching on a regular basis. And if you read the New Testament, what I love is I love how that they're walking, they're living life, they're walking around, they're exposed to his lifestyle and his teaching and his heart and his prayer life, and they're so much like me, and I love the fact, and I've got some of you brothers that we hang out together, that it's such an encouragement because I can just see the apostles walking along, and he's using something, he's like, the kingdom of heaven is like this barn, and he's going through, and he's trying to give them something to help them understand, and they're all standing around like, yeah, go. That's awesome, man. That's awesome teaching. 2 hours later, they're sitting around by themselves going, did you get what he was saying? I'm not getting the whole barn and post thing. What do you mean by that? And so some of these things, because they're so different than the way that we live our lives, this is what we're doing as we're learning through. It says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Compassionate, merciful. Let me read Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18 this morning. I'm going to read in the NIV. We started out in the New King James, but I want to read these 18 verses to you real quick. And I want to remind you, just like Tom was talking about this morning, just like what Pastor Chris was talking about. And you know what's really sad? I want to mention this. That what's really sad is some of you got petrified as Pastor Chris is standing up here talking about opening your home up and allowing people to just come into your home and sit down at your table. You have all these things that are rifling through your mind of why you can't do that, how your schedule's so busy, and what's going on, and my house is not clean enough, and da 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 da. That's where we've lost the power of the gospel in everyday living. And I want to say this to you in love. If you're one of those people that you've been rifling through excuses for not having people into your home and simply loving on them, just simply saying, hey, come get a meal, let's talk. If you've got all these, like, where's the program, where's the dialogue, where is all this going on? Let me just encourage you to lay all that stuff down and say, God, help me to just open myself up and remind me how to just love and be a friend. Because with all of our advancements, one of the things that we've lost in our culture is that simple ability to have people over and open our hearts up and just be a friend, to just be there. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 18, I want to remind you of this deep truth. We must pay the most careful attention. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We started out the service saying, it's time for us to wake up. We have to stay awake. We have to be awake spiritually. There are so many things trying to pull us away and entice us away from our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, the working of His Spirit. We have to help each other not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels is binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? Thank you, Tom, for being honest about that pursuit. Many of us can relate to what Tom said, that we do not live in and we don't appreciate, we're not reveling in this great salvation in the gospel. This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. It is not to angels that He has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? A son of man that you care for him. You made them a little lower than the angels, and you crowned them with glory and honor and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to them, but we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because He suffered death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what He suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. Man, that is a super sweet proclamation. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters in the assembly. I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in Him. And again, He says, here am I and the children God has given me. Verse 14, since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants, us. Verse 17, for this reason, He had to be made like them, fully human in every way. It's for this reason that He became flesh and dwelt among us, became human in every way, in order that He might become a merciful, compassionate, and faithful high priest in service to God, and that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He is able to help those who are being tempted. Anybody here this morning? Have any kind of temptations this week? Anybody have any struggles? Anybody get your tail kicked? Anybody have a bad attitude? Christ came and lived and died and rose again to show us this level of mercy, this level of compassion, because he understands the fleshly experience, and it's because of that that he's able to be our high priest. He's our priestly interceder, our intercessor before God the Father. He gets what we're struggling with, and he wants to do great things, to experience or obtain mercy. Mercy consists of treating people better than they deserve. You say, Tim, I know what I've done. I don't deserve God's mercy. That's what makes it mercy. That's why he's merciful. Mercy is a driving force of Christ's incarnation, death, and resurrection. Through him, our sins are forgiven, and we ourselves receive aid in this life by the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is merciful to us because God has shown his love to us through his Son. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure in heart, as respect to the ethical heart, free from corrupt desire, from sin and guilt. When it says see God, to look at or behold. Let me read Psalm 24, 1 through 5 in the New King James. This is a Psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from God, the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Selah. Think about those things. So be it. Pure as opposed to guilt or guilty. Moral pureness or uprightness. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are merciful and pure. Purity of a different heavenly kingdom type of pure. So hang with me this morning because I want to lay some groundwork here before I challenge you with a really simple thought this morning. Psalm 51, 10 through 19 in the New King James. Now, you just heard David proclaim in Psalm 24, 1 through 5. Now, I want you to hear a portion of Psalm chapter 51. And he wrote this for the director of music. This is another Psalm of David. But hear me when I say this. When the prophet Nathan had come to David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. So we're talking about a merciful God and we're talking about purity, but we're talking about a man proclaiming this level of cleanness and this level of purity after he had a woman's wife put on the front lines and basically murdered because of his position and his power. And then he went into her and he committed adultery, this man who had a heart after God. Verse 10, David proclaims, create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. Please hear me. I'm going to stop right there. Some of you, you've got this whole perfectionist, like purity thing, like it's something that you can do on your own. The very words that David is proclaiming right here proclaims the reality that we can't do these things. We can't be merciful. We can't be pure without God creating this mercy, without us experiencing his mercy, and then we are able to pass it on. Without us experiencing forgiveness and purity, and then we can pursue that, and then we can offer that to somebody else. Anybody here this morning feel dirty? Anybody here this morning feel perverted, feel lost, feel isolated, feel pushed aside? You fit here. welcome. Because you're among a group of people that are struggling in our humanity just like you are. There's nobody here that's attained that's any better off than you are, other than learning to allow the presence of God to flow over us and give us hope. Why? So that we can pass that same hope on. Because we stand up and we're like, yes, we are. No, we're on the same level. Let's keep reading. And the sinner shall be converted to you. This is my prayer for our church. That we'll be a life station, that we would be a hospital, that we would be a beacon of hope in a dark community. Not because we're better, but because we understand mercy and because we understand the process of being cleaned up. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed. Hear verse 14, read verse 14 with a different perspective because he was part of killing somebody. Oh God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Oh Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God, hear me. Wake up and listen. Hear me. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good to your good pleasure to Zion. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Let me read something I like from the Trinity Study Center. Jesus is telling his listeners and us what God is up to in our lives, and it is incredibly good news. Our fallen world tells us that being blessed, please hear me. Our world says that to be blessed is to not need to be blessed by anyone else because you are completely able to bless yourself. Or at least to believe that you are where you are all because of your own ability to bless yourself. I say this truth to you pointedly in love this morning because this is the struggle of the American church. We are too elevated in our own minds. Listen to what it says. It seems to me that our culture assumes that to achieve perfection is to reach a state where you do not need anyone else. In the kingdom of God, however, the blessed, the happy person is the one who is able to receive blessings and glory from another rather than giving it to him or herself. The people Jesus describes as blessed because they are in a position to be filled by God's comfort, God's righteousness, and God's presence. In fact, Jesus himself is the truly blessed one and is always receiving his Father's love, joy, and peaceful presence. So this is a real simple application, and I'm going to be real candid with you. Mercy, being merciful, being pure, experiencing purity. I want to challenge you as I challenge myself, and I have been challenging myself. Dependence on God through prayer. Prayer. Genuine time with God, pouring your heart out and seeking God is the greatest wellspring of mercy that I can experience or I have ever experienced in my life. Nothing purifies my heart and soul like prayer. Let me just tell you, I can tell you from personal experience that I can be in the Word of God and be an arrogant, puffed up, know-it-all, We've got so much religious knowledge and information across the world right now, especially in America, and we argue and we fight over doctrinal things that at the end of the day really don't matter because they don't have anything to do with the deity of Christ. They don't have anything to do with salvation or the indwelling Spirit of God. But we've got all this Bible information, and I can tell you all kinds of stories in my ministerial experience where men and women in leadership have all kinds of puffed up factual information, and they're not committed to prayer. And the one thing that Pastor Chris was talking about in the book of Acts, where you can't read through the Old Testament or the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, without seeing their absolute utter dependence, their absolute necessity for the vivaciousness, the life-giving flow of the Spirit of God. They needed God, and the way that they expressed that was they prayed individually and they got together and prayed. So please hear my heart when I tell you this. Me being merciful toward people, toward you, my ability to experience a new level of purity every year and to move away from sin and to not have closets and hidden stuff. And some of you, you've been involved in religion for so long and you are so corrupt in your soul and you are so dirty and you've got hidden sin and you've got garbage that you've been trying to rationalize and justify year in and year out. And some of you have even served on boards and some of you have even had people look up to you, but you are filthy inside. And you don't have the purity of God because you don't meet with Him privately. But you've got all kinds of good little Bible answers, and you can even argue and rationalize and justify with other people your position. But can I tell you that one of the most holy places to be purified and for mercy to be developed inside of Tim Duggins is me laying on my face or me being on my knees in private, with nothing else going on. I'm not talking about driving down the road with the radio on, offering up popcorn prayers. Like, God, thank you for this car. Thank you for air conditioning. Thank you. No, I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. And that kind of stuff is good because I do that and I need that because I can live with unappreciation, being unappreciative. But I'm talking about putting my phone away, getting away from the computer, getting away from everything else, and me laying myself before the holy presence of God and continually praying for people. In the past, I put people on my prayer list. I prayed for them for a couple years. I didn't see anything happen. Just stopped praying for them. Moved on. Gave up. You know what happened? What I realized would happen in my soul in that process? That's adorable. Is those people, I didn't extend mercy and I was not merciful toward them. And my level of having a pure heart on their behalf, my prayers became about me. And then that ability to intercede on behalf of people, and I'm confessing that. I'm being honest about that struggle or about that sin of the past, because now what I've committed myself to, if people make it on my prayer list, until I know that God has intervened, I'm going to keep going before God. And you know what is being purified? Tim Duggins is being purified because I keep going before the throne of grace, asking God to do great and mighty things. And there are people that I've been praying for their salvation, for their eyes to be open and their ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church and to them individually for years and years now. Church, for us to have the power and the presence of God, we have got to come clean that our source of being a merciful church, extending to other people what they don't deserve, in the same way that God has extended toward us what we don't deserve. And then along with that, because of the life-giving flow of Jesus' presence, that we are moving and we are understanding purity. Please hear me when I say this. There's never been a time since I've been alive where purity and pursuing a pure heart and mind. Never been a time since I've been alive where it's mocked, ridiculed, demeaned, made fun of, and put down like it is right now. You can be as perverted and wicked as anything on the planet, and you're going to get applause. You stand up and talk about any level of purity and trying to keep yourself clean, somehow, that's criminal now. That's bad. And so what we have to do is we have to focus on Jesus' teaching in this world, because he's talking about a kingdom that is different than the world that we live in. For those of you that are new, this church family was launched through small group Bible study. And along with that, it was launched before that through a prayer meeting. We were not sent out by a denomination. We were not sent out and blessed by a larger group. A group of men just started praying. And then we started meeting together in Bible study. Look around. Just take a few minutes and look around. When Pastor Chris says we don't have some great plan, there's all kinds of religious plans that we can embrace. But what we have tried to do all along the way is know God personally, experience him, and then make him known to other people, to offer the hope, the blessedness, and the salvation to other people that we are experiencing. If it's not real in us, then what's the point of proclaiming it? Is it going to be something that is part of our lifestyle and something that we're pursuing? So this morning, how merciful are you toward other people? Some of you that are perfectionists bound up in your religion, mercy is super hard for you because it's not an earning game. It's not an achievement game. It's not a keeping track and ticking the boxes game. And then this level of purity, it's about this purity that God creates inside of us, so that when we're all by ourselves and you think nobody will ever know what you're thinking, doing, and you're participating in, that the Spirit of the living God is guarding and protecting you so that you can experience a level of freedom that only comes from your relationship with Christ. And as I experience that level of purity, you know what it creates within me with other people? And some of you men, some of you ladies, some of you couples, you've met with Lori and I, and you sit down and you fully expect us to judge you or to throw you under the bus because of what you confess to us. And all you get is love, hugs, affirmation. You get mercy, you get grace, because our only source of purity is in him and him alone. Not because we're better than anybody else. And that's what this dark, lost world needs, is more mercy and more genuine purity. And it's important that you think about this, because we talked about last week, we're not supposed to have any other God ahead of him. And when we fight to keep him number one, listen to me, there is no way that you can private, personally, in a private way, get alone with God by faith and not have his presence wash over you and purify you and create a sensitivity and a mercy toward the people around you. And maybe some of you, for the very first time, you're going to begin to see the needs of other people and want to be a blessing because you're awake to his mercy. You're awake to his desire to purify you. So my call this morning is to prayer. Some of you men, you would follow me into battle. We could strap on guns. We could put swords on. And you would follow me into battle and be ready to die. But I ask you to come alongside of me and pray. And you're scared like a little boy. I'm going to ask you to man up with me. I'm inviting you to come with me. Come with us. And let's learn to pray. What God is trying to do here is something way beyond our ability to pull it off. And we need to be praying for one another. We need to know what it is to intercede for one another. And I want to say thank you. More and more of you have been turning in prayer requests and saying, hey, can you get this prayer team to intercede? I've got a friend, I've got a coworker, I've got somebody that's got a tumor. And we are praying, but we need to pray more. And we need to experience the power of prayer. And as Pastor Chris was saying earlier, there's somebody here today. I don't know who you are. But I'm going to ask you to be terrified and take a step of faith and open up your home and invite people in to pray. Have a meal and just pray. Just start with something somewhere. And see how God responds when we make ourselves available to what he wants to do. Father, oh, here I am. God, the fact that you would separate us, that you have separated and called me to do this, it's just a living example of your mercy, your forgiveness, and your incredible plan for using broken people to stand and proclaim your truth. So I stand here as a broken vessel, praising you for being merciful. And I thank you for the changes that you continue to make in me. I don't want any hidden closet. I want no rooms that I lock off from you walking freely in and cleaning out whatever you want to clean out. And ask God that you would create in this church family, create in us something that only you can receive the glory for. We humble ourselves before you, Father, and I ask that you would draw people by your grace and mercy to believe in you, to trust you. And as Tom proclaimed, Lord Jesus, come. We look for your return. Help us to be awake and to encourage one another to stay awake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing together.